Hello, welcome to the 18th Macro and Volatility Podcast. My name is Michael Purvis of Talbach & Capital Advisors. We are a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend, Josh Silva.
Hi, I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners, an asset management firm that focuses on the use of derivatives and options to create better alternative solutions. Today is February 25th, 2025. Michael, what are your thoughts on the bond market right now?
Josh, it's a real timely topic. Just as we were recording this, yields are down about 10 basis points across the curve. This is really kind of a risk-off type of bond bid. Equities are selling off as well. It's not really the deficits are getting lower, so the U.S. credit quality is improving type of bond bid that I think some people are arguing. When I peel back the onion a bit, I think you have to look at the federal deficit improvement arguments in two ways. Yes, we all want lower deficits here, but right now we have to stand back and recognize that 20% of U.S. GDP is a function of federal contractual spending. That's bad for the U.S. balance sheet, of course, but it has also transferred into growth for the U.S. economy. If that 20% number becomes a lot less, then that is growth contractionary. So that's one dynamic going on. Then we have sort of tariffs on, tariffs off, since Trump was elected, or since Trump took office. And we've seen that on tariffs on, that bonds are bid. In other words, the bond market is seeing tariffs as more contractionary than inflationary. I would also like to point out that this economic surprise index from Citibank and other economic surprise indices have broadly moved in tandem with yields. And if you look at these indices over the last several weeks, the economic data has been underperforming. Those indices are coming down, and with it, so it's been, the 10-year yield has been coming down as well.
Yeah, Michael, I think the bond market is a bit confused. I think bond vigilantes got a little bit ahead of themselves prior to the Trump inauguration. I think there was more fear than anything else that drove rates to that 4.8 level in the 10-year. I keep coming to the fact that we are range-bound in 10-year bonds, and I think we're stuck really between 4.25 and 4.75. And we're now nearing the bottom of that range at about 4.3. It has been very difficult to decide what this administration is going to do with taxes, with tariffs, with rates. And I think that's why we're sort of in this limbo until there's a real direction coming through. In other words, there's a lot of smoke, but let's see what the actual policies that are pushed forward. That being said, with economic indicators, as you point out, the Citi Index, and more importantly, inflation, which I think is a more important topic at this time. Can you talk about nominal and real yields in light of inflation?
Josh, I think it's important to recognize that while nominal yields have been consolidating in a higher range, as you point out, real yields have been actually quite dynamic. So, for example, the two-year nominal yield since the September lows is up about 50 basis points. The real two-year yield, however, is down nearly 100 basis points. And that's lower two-year real interest rate is really a function of the surge in near-term inflation expectations, which are, I'm using expectations priced by the TIPS markets. So those are up massively, and those are, almost at the sort of crazy levels during the peak of inflation in the COVID years. And just since the election, the two-year break-even inflation rates are up 80 basis points. That's a big number. On the 10-year side, on the 10-year part of the curve, the 10-year real yield is a very different story. Since September, the 10-year nominal yield is up about 67 basis points as we're talking, but the real yield is up about just a bit more than that, right? And so at the same time, what we've seen there is that the real yield has been really pushing higher in the 10-year, and that's a function of term premium or perhaps the pricing of a higher neutral rate of interest down the road here. But when you pull it all together, what do we have? We have higher inflation on the front end, higher term premium on the back end. And what that has meant is that we've seen one of the most aggressive steepening in the real 2-10 curve we've had on record outside of a crisis here, such as the COVID or the great financial crisis. That's a 250 basis point steepening in the real 2-10s curve just since last July.
Yeah, I always think the curve is interesting, but I tend to go with the fact that the yield curve is generally driven by different factors. The front end purely by data and what the Fed is doing, while the back end is much more supply and demand driven rate. The front end of the curve is being moved by a less dovish Fed as people have removed rate cuts, which there was a lot of rate cuts in the summer versus now, which you have pointed out. Inflation is stickier and the Fed is being forced to hold tight until we see movement in this data. They are very data dependent, as I've said. While we are starting to see more negative economic data, as you pointed out with the city surprise index, we really need to see inflation expectations drop, in my opinion, before the Fed will start lowering rates again. On the back end, I think the interesting thing is gold up, bonds down. That is not normal and speaks to the risk of rising inflation expectations in the marketplace. I also think that the central bank buying gold, let's say for the Bank of China, for instance, and maybe a bit of movement away from the dollar and U.S. bonds. Maybe governments are de-risking from dollar reserves, which is very new. This is a total hunch on my part. It's not really backed by any scientific data, but I think it's something that we should all start keeping an eye on. So Michael, let's go further. So what does this mean for equities and market volatility?
Well, it's interesting because on one hand, I think it's nice for everyone to see lower interest rates for all the obvious reasons. It helps with the discounting of cash flows within equities and so forth. It helps with the equity risk premium, which has been extraordinarily stretched lower with this higher move in PEs and lower move in rates. But what I'm really focused on right now is this real interest rate dynamic that we were just discussing. Again, very low two-year real interest rates because of higher near-term inflation and higher term premium on the back end at the same time. So I think that creates sort of three new headwinds for equities. Headwind number one, higher near-term inflation means the Fed is more likely to be cautious with cuts, like you just pointed out. Headwind number two, the main argument for the Fed to start cutting last September was that we were near-term interest rates, which, as you point out, the Fed really is in charge of, it really controls, on a real basis, were simply too far from neutral, and therefore we had to, you know, cut our way much closer to neutral and get ahead of it. But now real rates are already lower, so that argument is less obvious there. And then the third issue is simply that high real rates on the back end of the curve simply make bonds more attractive than they were earlier. And this is especially pronounced given that for equities, given that equity valuations have been so stretched recently.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so I think we're really sort of seeing that in today's risk-off move here and this more aggressive selling of equities. But let's see how far that goes. But what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, equities are getting, you know, interesting, and it's I'll try to say what I mean, I guess, or mean what I say. The VIX is holding up at this higher level, getting closer to 20, even though we haven't really moved that much this year. I mean, the SPX is up 2% on the year, which is not a lot considering we're getting to the end of February. Under the sheets, though, is where it's always with equities, it seems like these days, where things have gotten interesting. Growth has gotten absolutely smoked this week and a part of last week. And momentum long and short baskets have also gotten really, really banged up. And you can see that in various stocks. U.S. tech is losing, while China tech in Europe is winning, which is a big, big change over for the last 2 years. This is a real divergence this year. This is a real different thing. Whether it's real or not, we'll find out, but that's what the market's saying. I guess the bottom line is people decided to buy cheap equities and sell expensive, which goes back to your point on bonds and PEs that you talked about just a little bit ago. But I still think this is more moving chips on the table versus real directional bets. While they're selling one thing, they're buying something else. It's not really like a money, you know, risk on, risk off. It's more of a, hey, I'm going to move my money to a different place. On vol, VIX is being driven more by put buying or even tail hedging. Downside puts are being bought, and far out of the money puts are really what's driving the consistent bid on the VIX. In other words, people are putting hedges on pretty aggressively in this market, and specifically in options. People are nervous. Hedge funds are de-risking. So the next week could prove really, really interesting. The last big Trump trade, I don't like talking about this asset because I don't necessarily know if it's an asset or not, but I thought it was interesting. But the last big Trump election trade winner is Bitcoin. Bitcoin has had quite a run since the election, but is having finally gotten to an 8 handle, which is quite a sell-off. And that is looking a little bit scary at the moment. So let's see what happens there too.
Yeah, Josh, I hear you. And just to add to the Bitcoin discussion, Tesla just today is now completely round trip. It tripped its rally since the election. But interesting times ahead of us for sure. Anyway, that's it for today. This is Michael Purvis at Talbach and Capital Advisors. Find me on Bloomberg or LinkedIn. Thanks very much for listening.
Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me in Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page. Until next time.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.